All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Gundam Explained show. I'm your host, Adam Blue. And joining me as always, Stephen of Midnight Hatter. Cheers.
Cheers. How you doing, buddy?
What is it? Cranberry juice?
Yeah. We'll call it, I don't know. I can't even come up with a good joke off the top of my head.
No, you got to get a few sips in. I'm just assuming it's alcohol.
Yeah, you know, a little barrel juice. We'll call it that.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, cool. Yeah, it's a good way to get this started because it is Thursday. It is near the end of the week, and I'm usually like out of it, you know, by the end of the week, you know, and you know, because work, kids stuff, and then I get, you know, into the hobby stuff I can as I go. So we'll talk about that here in a second. But
nice.
How are you doing? Show yesterday was pretty cool. If people missed that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I love getting to show off things that other people have done that are impressive because it gives me a break and like, you know, but no, it's honestly inspiring to see what the immediate community around us is capable of doing, whether it's music, whether it's Gunpla, fantastic stuff. So thank you guys. Thank you to the Patreon supporters for continuing to support the channel and for providing, you know, some eye candy for us or ear candy. As it were.
So check that out. If you hadn't yet, Steve's show from yesterday was really cool stuff from the community. But yeah, so for today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some G Quux news, which is pretty cool. You know, just box office overall. Like I found a review of someone that's never really watched Gundam before. And so I kind of wanted to see their thoughts because we were talking about that yesterday a little bit.
Awesome. So hopefully, fingers crossed. There's a showtime tomorrow at 1:23 in the afternoon. We will see if I can take the wife to it because I've been trying to convince her all day. Like, hey, if you see it, you have not watched Gundam, so I can get your perspective. But if you've already got one, then that's even better. We can get.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool. And in fact, I think Sunday, and I think we nailed down a time. The supporters that have seen. Or maybe not, it doesn't matter. But yeah, supporters that want to, we're going to do a little G-Watch. So Monday's show or Monday's episode will be kind of a discussion around G-Quux of us that have seen it. So we'll get into spoilers and all that. Sweet. So hey, if you're available for that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And then, yeah, we'll talk some. Oh, yeah, the other news, too, what we'll get into is that it's in April. It's going to be on streaming here in the U.S. That news, I think it's been out for a little while today. I don't know when it. I was just scrolling before. Sometimes scrolling works. And I feel like it's the time when you really legitimately have nothing to do. Like I sent you the thing to join the thing and I was like, okay, so we're set up. I'll just scroll my phone for a second. And then that's when I saw the news. But I usually don't like to just scroll, but.
Well, and there are certain things that I have alerts set up for. So, like, for instance, you know, with the Bandai Card Games Fest and the Next Future event that happened a couple weekends ago, I do have alerts on my phone for specific Twitter accounts. I don't, you know, everyone that I follow on Twitter, I don't put, like, notifications on for everything. But I do have notifications for Gundam Assemble because I want to be on the cutting edge of anything Gundam Assemble that is announced. So
I know I'm so glad that you're really into it because it could be one of those things, you know, like, you know, there's some Gundam stuff I get into and you're like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Like anything that's like seed related. You're like, yeah, nice.
So, Adam. Yeah. So every time you come and say like, oh man, did you hear there's a new F90 kit? And I'm like, I don't care.
Exactly. It's one of those things.
So but, that's how you are. Are you saying that you feel that way about the things that I like?
No. Change of subject. That's the thing with Gundam Assemble. It's like I think that's awesome. I can't wait. But I need someone that knows a little more about that stuff to help guide me. And that's what you will be helping us with when that stuff comes out. I'm going to be turning to you for sure.
I'll do my best.
But I guess, I mean, speaking of that, did I hear correctly that it's not going to come out until 2026?
That's the word. Interestingly enough, the Japanese version of the website is updated, but the English version is not. So like if you click the little EN tab, it doesn't have anything about 2026. But sure enough, on the Japanese version, it says coming 2026.
Okay, interesting. Well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, we could wait. We wait for stuff all the time. And then was there something else? Oh, yeah, we're going to talk. I found on Twitter this awesome technique for Gunpla, for customizing Gunpla.
Oh, very cool.
There's multiple meanings. We'll get to that. But yeah, okay, to start, just some things we got into this week. Obviously I have the video up where I built, completed the G-Quux thanks to Art Rovo Gundam, link below. I was able to acquire some and he had some for sale. I think they sold out, but you know, there should be more stuff up there. It was funny after I did the review and put it up, I didn't look at it again until just now to get it for, I appreciate my top coat. I don't think I did originally. Looking at it, I'm like, it's not that strong. This is such a skinny and bio non-mechanical looking thing that it is kind of different in general to look at. So check out my review if you haven't. That's up on the channel. At the end of the day, if you like Gunpla, you're going to like it. Even if, and here's the other thing, like I feel like, and I've said this in the review, like it's cool to build even out of context of Gundam. Like, to me, it's just a neat robot thingy.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, you made it look good with your touch-ups because...
Oh, cool.
That's one of those kits. And I hope that this is trending this direction for high grades in the future because it's like the Requiem for Vengeance kits and the G-Quux kits. They are highly detailed, lots of parts separation. And so it's like, obviously, there's plenty of detail on it without touching it up. But if you do go that extra mile, you can make these things look like really detailed.
Yeah. And there's something about it too, of finding all the little parts that I have to detail and then go through and do it and not know. And there's actually some things basically, and this is a big one, the thrusters on the back, there's a little line in there. It's supposed to be yellow and I can actually hit that up easily. I just, when I was doing it, didn't, you know, come across that. And then I hated the part that's on the back thrust or the backpack, the white area that I had to paint white. That was annoying to paint. It reminded me of, what is it? The Atlas Gundam that has the, I forget that thing that it's called, that the ski.
Oh yeah.
The gun thing. I forget what it's called. It's sled. But if I remember correctly, that had a lot of color correcting stickers on it or something. And it was like, it looked horrible and it's like,
those yellow stickers.
Yeah. And then painting with yellow, I forget. It's like light colors. It's harder to do unless you were to take your time to like mask all that stuff. But you know, masking sometimes to do it, you know, sometimes. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, there was that. I had that video go up about the science in Gundam. And we're talking about like Minofsky particles and stuff like that.
I love that video personally because It, anything like that. I remember when I first learned there was that little, I think it was like on History Channel or A&E or something when they did the science in Star Wars. And it was like, could a TIE fighter exist? Like twin ion engine? Like, yes, in theory it could exist, but like the propulsion is so inefficient that it would be moving like a meter every second. Like it's not, you're not going to be traveling fast. So it's like, and Gundam is the same way where a lot of these pseudoscientific principles that can be explained in real life are just taken to their natural conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Conclusion, I should say.
And you know what? There was so many other things too I wanted to touch on in the video to like kind of make it make sense. Like there was that time when I was talking about, you know, one way to think about leveraging quantum mechanics is if you filled your gas tank of your car, but then if you were able to somehow bend the laws of physics to fill the gas tank up again, to have, you know, double the energy essentially in the same space. And part of how that can happen is the fact that there's three like generations of particles that exist, something like that, where the stuff that makes up some matter, like, you know, solid matter, and then some stuff that makes up what we get from like lights, photons. So it can kind of go through. And then you get a type of particle, and I forget the name of it. There's the boson hadron and something else anyway, that it could go through anything. And so all you have to do,
collider. It is a,
well, it's funny because I think that's what they're doing. They're because they call it a collider because these particles have different properties of how they interact with each other. Right. So you can change the phase of a certain particle to be able to then be in the same space as another.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. And so I didn't touch on that in the video, but that is part of when you're trying to explain in quantum mechanics, how can something exist in the same space? You know, that it has to do with like, yeah, the particle generations, but oh, I love talking that stuff and I could do it forever, but
dude, that's why I told you, you have to watch that movie Southland Tales because
Yes. Yeah. Let me mark that down real quick.
Yeah, man.
I remember you had told me and I forgot when I was thinking of something to watch.
Okay. Yeah, Southland Tales. And then my wife and I have been watching that show, Paradise, or we just finished it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've been hearing about that.
Good stuff, man.
Okay. All right. No, not Paradise Hills. Why would it do that? I don't know what that is. Okay. Let me think. Oh, yeah, the other thing. I brought this up on your show, right? I didn't bring it up here yet. The EVA unit here.
Yeah. So, did you bring that up on my show?
Or maybe I didn't. I wouldn't know. Maybe that was on my gamer show. But check this out. This is...
It's an action figure in a box.
Yeah. But yeah. It's like a model kit, but nothing's on the runners.
It's pretty cool. I mean,
that's pretty cool. So this, the brand Yolo Park, $38. On Amazon. So it's one of those, you know, Chinese manufacturers that it's legit licensed stuff. You know, there's really high end EVA unit ones out there that are like in the hundreds of dollars. And, you know, that will be down the line. But, you know, I start slow, get one of these. Now that I have that appreciation for EVA and all that. And I just think it's crazy. Coincidentally, you know, this, I had started watching the show before the series was announced.
You know, I owe it to you and Ultronimus to finally watch EVA and
that's right, man.
Properly pass judgment.
Dude, that's right. I hope you get to that soon because I would love for us to talk about that more and yeah, make some content around the discussions of themes and stuff that's in EVA because I feel like I've been using the term postmodern a lot lately, but it's like a postmodern Gundam and Godzilla, you know. Yeah, okay, so another interesting thing, kind of as it relates to like Gunpla, maybe collectibles. So here's this Mafex or Mafex Spider-Man action figure, right? But what's really neat is that there's people out there that make head sculpts. And so I was able to get this Spider-Man 95 animated series head sculpt. Kind of hard to see on here, but I'll get to that point. And then a Spider-Man PS5 head sculpt, and yeah, it's
okay.
Auto do it anyway. It's fascinating because these things are extremely high quality. I would say higher quality than what like Marvel Legends does, and it got me thinking.
How is the color matching on it? Like,
you can tell if you look really closely that it's not exact, but
red is a very hard color to like match.
Yeah, for instance, and here's the thing though: when you order the head sculpts, you're choosing which body. Because they know people are swapping like the Marvel Legends or the Mafex. So that's cool. For that color correction comes in. Because this one's a little different, but barely. But it really got me thinking. And maybe I'm missing this, but I don't see that done with Gundam heads.
Unfortunately, you know? No. And I wish that were the case because obviously we discussed this last night. But I wish that there was an alternative head for the Gundam EX that is a little closer to an EZ-8 instead of, you know, the kind of weird 1930s football helmet thing that Gundam EX has going on.
No, but so that's what's interesting because people are always customizing Gunpla so much, Gundam, whatever. I feel like the head could be a piece where people are making like custom heads, and maybe that does exist. Sure. I just haven't found it, but just nowadays, because and I don't know if it's the case that these are just completely printed in a resin printer, it's completely smooth. The lines for the webbing are grooves. The black part around the eye is raised, and the white part must be another piece, and it's slightly transparent.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. On this one, not on the PS5 one, but that's what I'm saying. It's super high quality. And I feel like I could see that with let me grab, I have the double X here. And, you know, the double X head, you know, looks fine, but what if it's like you could get something where someone makes it where it's like gold, maybe a little larger, maybe it's adjusted just enough so that the head can have better articulation. Like, I feel like that's a market.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, not even just like heads, but all different kinds of body parts. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously there are plenty of high quality resin conversion kits. You can go to e2046.com. And they specialize in just resin conversion kits. And even like the stuff that I've done, and you know, I'm going to show this off, obviously, is, you know, I've got the entry grade GM parts here. The torso fell off because, and this is where I think it gets challenging, is parts fitting. So like a two part like epoxy resin that you did in, you know, silicone is probably going to be a little bit more rigid. It's going to hold up to a little bit more of the handling than a 3D printed resin. So like this stuff, it's great. Mm-hmm. It looks fantastic, but unfortunately when it comes to movable joints, ball joints in particular, you're going to run into like, either it's going to get real powdery because it's grinding against itself, or it just won't fit. And sometimes parts will crack. I mean, this was the fourth prototype that I had to print of this guy with almost the same settings. Like I maybe widened a couple of different peg holes just to allow a little bit of extra clearance, but like it really was a easy and quick design to do. So that said, one of the things that I am experimenting with are other types of resin that will hopefully allow us to get into the market that you're talking about, where we have some aftermarket parts. One in particular that I'm very excited about working on is an alternative head for the Zeta Gundam Verka.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but like the head sculpt on the Verka version of the Zeta Gundam, it's just like a little too narrow. It's like kind of...
That's that thing where there's something about a fat Zeta that... Yeah. You know, not that it has to be fat, but there's something about the chunkiness of
fat bottom Zetas make the world go round.
Well, okay, so if you were to make an alternate head, would it make more sense for it to just be a fully 3D printed piece?
I mean, I would probably at least part separate it enough to where you know, the faceplate and like the eyes and the cameras were individual parts. Okay. That way you could get some, you know, I'm gonna put LEDs in it, so it's like I won't be able to print the eyes and the cameras in colored translucent resin. So
yeah, you know, that makes sense, because I was just thinking, you know, the reason maybe we are not seeing a lot of like these pre-painted custom whatever, because a lot of it is resin that's already on the side of hobbyist. Mm-hmm. When it comes to craft rather than action figure, it's more of just, you know, getting it, because it's crazy. I have this this Marvel Legends, you know, the Wolverine from Deadpool Wolverine. And on AliExpress, someone sells the bare arms.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, Marvel Legends is that, but it's $17 and you get, and they're pinless. They're the same articulation. Wow. Yeah. It's very interesting now, like how when you want to customize something and you don't, and there's options, obviously you could do something yourself, but who has the logistics or quickly ramp up to be able to create plastic pinless bare arms? You know, it's nice that you can buy it.
Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff that, and we talk about it a lot over on my channel, where it's like there are things that you can do to customize your Gunpla, or like even tools. You know, it's like you could spend days and hundreds of dollars finding an inexpensive tool that does the same thing as like a Ray Studios marker, or you could pay a little bit more up front for the Ray Studios marker, knowing that they've done all of the testing. They've taken all of that burden off of you and made it a little easier, a little bit more turnkey. So in much the same way, as like anybody could make their own, in theory, anybody could make their own MOFX or Marvel Legends head sculpt, but like, you know, you could just pay someone else and they've already done all the work for you. So,
yeah, I know. And it's crazy too. That with the, what were you just talking about right before the, oh, I totally forgot. Cause I was going to ask you something.
Don't worry about it. I'll be here all night.
No, no, because, I was talking about the customizing. Okay, the Wolverine, oh, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. No, there's some times where I will search. Actually, I did that for some of the Batman action figures I got. I went and would get the, like, custom capes.
Oh, yeah. Because the capes that they come with are terrible.
Yeah, and so that's pretty neat. And, yeah, I guess with Gunpla, then at the end of the day, really is you're just customizing. But, oh, yeah, I was going to talk about Ray Studio real quick because, I almost feel like you don't realize. Okay, so it's like when you buy something Bandai or whatever, you get it, and you know you're like, oh, that's the price. But with Ray Studio, I feel like when you get the thing, it feels like it's more. Because when I ordered those markers, those metallic markers, there were so many different shades, and I'm like, I didn't pay a lot for this compared to if I was to go buy some Gunna markers, it would be less markers, you know, and. So maybe that's what it is. The Ray Studios quality, also there's a little more value in it. And so it really makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait to use them more. On this, because in a little bit we're going to talk about a little more customizing stuff. On the GQX, I didn't really see a striking need for chrome metallics or anything. Nothing stood out in the anime like that. There's not traditional thrusters on this. So I felt it was fine on this. Now, however, I need to finish. This is the big conundrum right here. In my mind, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to start building. I want to build the Master Grade EX Strike Freedom now that I'm into all that. I think that's what it's called. You know, and it's the, wait, Master Grade Extreme. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the one with the LEDs, right?
Does it have LEDs too? That's cool.
The EX, the MGEX does.
I just know they're big and detailed. Anyway, I bought the Proud Defender. It's a third Sweet. Party to go for it.
Yeah.
To go
with it.
But then I'm like, I want to start it. And I'm like, Adam, you have this Mecha Godzilla that you just started. You already painted it and you've already built it. It's like, you just need to finish it. And okay, have you come across a point recently where there's two things you want to do really bad, and how do you pick one? And is it like, hey, I already started this, I might as well finish it? Or have you just completely been like, no, I'm just going to work on something else?
No, absolutely. I mean, honestly, I only rushed to do the Gundam EX and the GM because of the Patreon-themed build. Obviously, I couldn't con my way into calling the V8 a legacy build, because even though it's part of my legacy, right? Because Gundam Wing. But this is something that I've been working on for probably, you know, at least a few months. I think since like July of last year. And I think I've made a lot of really great advances towards. Honestly, I'm glad that you brought up the idea of customizing Gunpla, because one of the things that I thought was hilarious is I was looking at the P Bandai high grade versions of this and the V8 for inspiration to see like what kind of colors and, you know, how I should do the part separation, things like that. I didn't realize that the head sculpt on the P Bandai high grade is part swapping. Like, I thought it was like this, the way that I designed mine, where you can take the faceplate off and the mask is underneath. But no, you take the entire top, like front of the head off and swap that out. So I'm like, this is better than the high grade because A, you've got a little magnet in it. So I'm looking out for you there.
There you go. Yeah.
So the magnet, like the faceplate magnetizes on right underneath the LED that we have installed there. So, and we've got the exposed wires for now, but that's just because we haven't installed the microcontroller and all that stuff. But.
And so you'll kind of work on it, move on, work on it, move on. Yeah. Cause like, I want to finish the Mecha Godzilla. But in my mind, when I'm thinking about it, I'm just thinking just a bunch of chrome pieces I'm putting together, which it's not as colorful and exciting as thinking of, you know what, the Proud Defender and the Master Grade EX Strike, like that's all gold and it's an action figure.
That's one thing that I wish that there were different tones of metallic silver paint markers that you could get, like that way you could add some variety to the Mechagodzilla, because like you said.
That's what I got from Ray Studio. Ray.
Okay. Yeah. They're not just like different color metallics. Like you have different shades of silver.
Yeah. Some of it are different types of silver and bronze. That's what I'm saying. It's like a whole lot. Silvers, bronzes, golds. It's like all in that area. And it was a whole lot. And yeah, you brought up exactly what my plan is. I got those because I know as I'm going to be working on this Mechagodzilla, there's opportunity where I can do touch-ups like that. Because, yeah, like I was saying, it's just, it's all one color, and I'm kind of like, that's not as exciting right now, even though.
That's how I feel about this guy. It's like he's solid blue, and so I've got my Gundam Real Touch blue marker that we're going to use to, like, tint a couple of the parts. Because I might have mentioned that these Real Touch markers, they're not, like, opaque. They're not, like, paint markers. So I'm hoping that those will just kind of add some tonal variety in the blue.
Wait, the Real Touch? It's more of like a watercolor.
Yeah, it's almost like an alcohol marker, kind of like a Copic, where it just kind of shades apart. So it's like really good for white and like off white kits, because then you can add color, but you're not going to paint over like a dark colored kit with one of these. And they're good for weathering too. Weathering is obviously, you can kind of go in and do that kind of thing. Dual tips. So you've got like the fat brush tip and then you've got a fine point on the other side. That's always a nice touch.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Cause for Ray Studios, I ended up buying, they sell them separately, the fine tip and it still wasn't too pricey.
No, and again, those are like acrylic. They're like alcohol based acrylics, right? So it's like they're actual like paint markers. So they lay on to like anything.
I don't remember. I'm not going to spend my time looking, but they should be right there. It's awesome. I had this unit thingy with drawers to the side, and as I rearranged the office, I was like, I don't know where to put this. I might just give it away, and it fits under my desk, and I can still use my desk, and now I have all my complete supplies there. It's fantastic. Since we're talking about the customizing, we're gonna get to that first before the GQuex news, because I found something awesome on Twitter. Let me change to that. And so it's the idea, and as we go down, I think the tweet, the guy is kind of showing. Are you able to see it? Am I sharing with you?
Yeah, I see.
Okay, great. So it's really cool because there's, a lot of the cool stuff, especially from the GPO, that Stardust Memory seemed to really, although 0080 did it too with the antenna.
The EZ8 has two.
That's right. It has the, And I loved how that's been a thing in Gundam. I feel like that adds a look to it, but they fall off. They pop off. If you have a robot spirits, sometimes they even come with an extra one just in case. this idea is good for many reasons. So he just got a spring. He cut a little section to put it in there. Now, the only thing I'm wondering is, would you then want to paint it? Is it realistic to paint a material like that?
I'm glad that you brought this up, because this is one of those things that, like, so Nickel Models and I talked about this last week, where, we had one of the ODO winners painted polycaps, that's a part that you don't typically paint, because obviously it's going to see a lot of friction. The likelihood of it chipping is too high. But when I look at this, I don't think, I'm not personally inclined to paint it right away, because it kind of looks realistic. Like, when you look at antenna, they typically are not one solid color. So having, like,
there is something to it that adds that credibility, that verisimilitude.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Looking at this Gundam head makes me want to buy one of those Gundam heads to paint and top coat and everything, like get decals on it like that. That's, something out of the ordinary, being a larger size of something I'm usually building on a small scale.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, that was one of the things that I was thinking about when we were just talking about resin parts is I recently watched a video where someone was, they documented start to finish the unboxing and painting of a resin kit, High New Gundam head. And there were a lot of things that I liked about it. Obviously, I like the work that they did. I think it was actually EA Gunpla now that I think about it. But obviously, the work they did was fantastic. But when I look at the product and the resin kit that they got, it's like they leave the sprues on some of these parts. And so you end up having to like trim and sand them a lot. Like it doesn't come out of the box like ready to go.
Yeah.
Which it's like, I don't expect it to come on a runner or anything like that, but I do expect it to come like at least ready to go. And then as he's assembling it, because it's resin, you know, they don't want to make the parts too tightly fit together to where they might snap, which, like I mentioned, is an issue with 3D printed resin. And so they're kind of like loose fitting parts, and you end up having to like model glue them together. And it's more like traditional modeling, like if you're into old school like military airplanes and tanks and that sort of stuff, which is cool if that's what you're into. But if you're like graduating from Gunpla and you want to do something like that, I don't know. So that's where I went ahead and picked up some rubber-like 3D printing resin, and I'm going to be running some experiments on that this weekend. Hopefully you guys will enjoy what comes out of it.
Okay, so rubber-like, so I'm assuming it's rubber-like.
Yeah, it is what it sounds like. And so hopefully the trade-off, obviously, is that it's going to be less detailed. But for something like this, where if you were going to 3D print a Gundam head, and you wanted the antenna to be something flexible that isn't going to snap on you, then you print it in the rubber-like resin so that, I mean, it's a cylinder. Like, you don't need to,
it you know, that's very interesting. Be like
super detailed.
Because, for instance, you know, I have this My Shira New Shira Ultronimus can come with that. You know, the character from King of Fighters.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they did this, but the whole top half of the body is just a rubber piece. Mm. I don't know why they did that. Did they think people are going to be pressing on the chest a lot? I don't know. But
the world may never know.
But why I find that interesting is, what was the other thing? Yeah, there was a new Godzilla action figure from Playmates that came out.
Mm.
It's rubber. Like, it still has the joints, articulated joints and everything, but you could even like rubber move the hands. So that's very interesting. I wonder if that seems to be something that makes a lot. Okay. The Char Zaku 2.
Oh, yeah, the skirt.
Yeah, that's another. Okay, so that is something I feel like can be integrated a lot more.
Or energy pipes on Zakus.
Yes.
I mean, that kills me. And honestly, I'm almost done getting the video ready for that, but I do have a way of softening the pipes on high-grade Zakus so that they are flexible and aren't going to, you know, get in the way of your posing. So,
and you know, so that's something to think about. Like, if they were to then start using that same material for the skirt on the Zaku 2 as material for antennas, material for, I even think beam saber blades.
I think they also did it for a Lunamaria Hawk's torso on
the. Yeah, that's right. I remember reading that in the description. I've been eyeing that, but I'm like, do I really need another wife in my house?
You know, I'll pick one up when they finally do one that I like Nika. Like, does anybody care about Nika from Witch from Mercury? We all want Cecilia, and preferably with rubberized legs, right?
Okay, yeah, you know what? Yeah, they're coming out with that's what's cool is they have those, you know, and I have a lot of them, the 1/18 scale.
Yeah,
the
Gundam military
Sela.
Yeah, is it GMG or
GMG? Yeah, GMG. Yeah,
okay, GMG.
Which I learned from Justin that's just owned by Bandai straight up. They just have different company names for things. But so that's kind of where I would like to see them go. I do. So here's the thing. So this is actually pretty interesting. Seed Freedom last year, you know, came out with the model kits. They came out with SH Figure Arts action figures, but then also the figurized models of other characters. So you're able to get a complete set of characters if you bought the action figures and the model kits. And it's just usually they do girls as model kits. And I don't know if that's because maybe there's something about doll alike or dressing up, you know, that, and then for the guy toy, that's more of like the action figure, you know?
Which, I mean, it's so funny. You think about like just the marketing behind that. And did you ever Do you remember the franchise Max Steel?
That sounds very familiar.
So that was like, it was like a sci-fi action version of like a G.I. Joe. And so my little brother was huge into Max Steel when it came out, and it was like 3D animated. So it was like kind of like reboot that whole era of like 3D animated shows. 1/12 scale dolls, essentially. I mean, it was essentially a Barbie doll, but it was like a jacked dude that came with guns and, you know.
And I think, what you're getting at is like, it's funny how they choose what's a model kit and what's an action figure. And it's weird how mostly the girls or the, you know, a lot of the girls will get statues. And the guys do too, but it's usually just Char. You don't see like a statue of Ryu.
I mean, that Camille one is pretty sweet, where he's like got the gun and it comes. I wanted one of those so bad.
Yeah, they have some cool stuff there. I'm just, you know, I'm big on action figures, and I would like to get more of these characters. That's why I want to get that Lunamaria Hawk. And that's the other thing. So there's going to be a Shin, and there is an Atheron. It might not be out yet. And Shin action figure, right? But these action figures are $90. These SH figure arts. In the Figurize Lunamaria,
it's like 40, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 40. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's one of those things. But it would be cool to have that as a collection because they're in their pilot suits and all that. But
yeah, and that's kind of what bums me out about it, is that I wish that they came out in collections, because they came out with like a Figurize Puru 2.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, why Puru 2 before you've done any of the original Gundam characters, any of the original Zeta Gear characters, you go straight to Double Zeta and you go straight to Puru 2, not even Puru. Like,
right. So what's interesting about that is that further going down that idea that, like, for female characters, for some reason, model kits are that's cool, because I would love if they had a Haman model kit from Double Zeta. That would be amazing.
So would you prefer Haman in like the black cloak, or like from like in her full Neo Zeon regalia?
I what they should do is the full Neo Zeon regalia for what you build, and then more of like a swappable some thing, maybe just a one piece of her cloak thing. Because I would like her in her like military uniform, you know, as an action figure. That's cool. I mean, hey, it's just interesting to see, like you said, hey, they don't even have any original Gundam characters out, but it's weird how they do of the 1/18th scale. It's so weird what they choose to do and not do.
Yeah, I don't get it.
We're going to move on to some G-Quux news. And actually, you know, it was funny. I was looking for, I'm totally changing the subject. Sorry, everyone. The Rising Freedom, you know, is unfortunately, and I hate to tell you, I feel like I'm confessing to you when I talk about this stuff. It's just another seed suit that is now catching my eye, which is weird, because the Rising Freedom was just designed as the opening suit for the new show and then for the new movie. And then he went, you know, to the Strike Freedom Mark II, I don't know, the Spec II, and then the Mighty. Anyway. This was really cool. I was looking at the high grade, because sometimes like, God, these are cool. But, you know, this was, you know, at the end of the day, it's like $25. You build it. It's not a real grade. It's not a master grade. I saw some badass decals online for the Rising Freedom that have some sort of metallic part to it. So I think I'm going to do a video of like before and after. Like, here is, because when I look at the Rising Freedom high grade, I'm like, this looks so much like a toy. How can I make it look like one of the, you know, finished like real grades, or even the newer high grades that are super detailed, you know, like the Gundam EX. So I'm going to get those stickers on, which is another cool thing to do. Like, if you're just thinking of what else could you do for your Gunpla, look for some like third party stickers. There's sometimes it's pretty neat what they have out there.
For sure.
But yeah, I'm totally going to do that. Top coat. The other neat thing I want to bring up,
I just can't believe you're becoming such a seed freak.
I know. And I'm about to bring something wing up in a second. Okay. So hold on to your butts. So it's interesting how they made the Rising Freedom transform into a flight unit, where it's almost like that was almost like a after where maybe Bandai started realizing, okay, that works and that's cool, because they did that with the metal. Is it the Metal Robot Spirits Death Scythe where they added a flight mode?
Yeah, which was interesting. It's like they're trying to make the Death Scythe feel a little bit more like the Wing Gundam.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I love a mobile suit that can transform into a flight mode, but it seems very practical even on the Gunpla level. You know what I mean?
You mean you don't like the Epion and it's like feet folded over its back? Like it's.
I don't mind that. I was actually throwing shade at the Zeta and the Wave Rider.
Oh, you son of a.
I know. I know. As much as I love it, that transforming, because, you know, I have like the Delta Kai.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, there's other things where it's like a lot easier to transform. And that's the thing. I don't have it here. The Rising Freedom, how the back, it the
just thing like a two part fold. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. And then even the, I'm going to be doing a video on this, but the Gundam Double X and the G Falcon, how, and I'll show it in the video, how easily it just connects. And, you know, that stuff. So what I need to do is like a top five flight modes, since I'm just like so into these flight modes now.
And what you need to do is like, take the same energy that you've put into some of these tracks that you've written in FL Studio for your Gunpla and your reviews, and make something that kind of sounds like Danger Zone, so that you've got that Top Gun vibe going.
Yes. Actually, that's a great idea to theme it like that.
You're welcome. even though you're slandering the Zeta.
I know. It's a love-hate relationship.
You know, it is.
What can I say? But I will say I do like the Rising Freedom's flight form, and I do like the Wing Zero's flight form, even though I think it's a ridiculous mobile suit. I don't know what it is. It's those binders.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's kind of cool the way that like the Wing Zero, not the Endless Waltz version, but the TV series version, like the wing binders like open up and
it has like two different forms to it, where it almost looks like kind of strictly like maybe it's a flight unit, and then it opens up and then you can kind of manipulate that even more. It's
exactly. Yeah. I dig it a lot.
Okay. Enough of that side thingy. Let's look at some news. So Mobile Suit Gundam's newest anime movie debuts in the US with impressive Rotten Tomatoes score, which I think it was the same thing with Freedom and Cuckoo's Donuts Island anyway. Like these niche things get the high scores because that's who's watching it.
Pretty much.
It's at 89. Char's Counterattack being at 83, I think makes sense. I wonder if that was like probably the most watched Gundam for the longest time for people growing up. I think it's one of the first ones that was brought over.
I mean, I'm trying to remember like back when it was definitely at least.
Cause I've heard people tell me in the '80s, late '80s, I'm having a VHS of Char's Counterattack.
Yeah.
So that makes me think, or is that just someone bringing it over with fan dubs or fan subs and not. Yeah. How often was someone watching a VHS tape that wasn't official?
That's a question for Vampy.
Oh, that's right. She was talking about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because she obviously had the earliest hit on anything Gundam because, you know, coming from a family that owned a video store, it was like she was getting those VHS tapes. The first I heard about Char's Counterattack was when I was in high school. So,
yeah, and this was after you had already known about Wing.
Yeah, yeah, I'd watched through Wing and Zeta. And so,
yeah, you that's know. Right. Okay. Yeah, I remember the story you told me where the kids were talking about the other mobile suits. Or was it from a video game or something? And you were like, this isn't.
Well, they were asking me what my favorite mobile suit was. And I was like, oh, good flight type. And they were like, oh, you need to watch Char's Counterattack. Because
okay, that's what it was. I love that. I love that when kids. I remember, when I was in fifth grade and I was playing on the playground. And this kid comes up to me. He's like, are you playing Power Rangers? And I'm like, no. But on the inside, two kids wanted to play Power Rangers with each other, but we were in the fifth grade and we were kind of getting over that.
Isn't that sad? You know, if only we were more honest with each other.
I know. New types. That's the whole point. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on. So yeah, the Rotten Tomatoes score. There was something in here.
So you already mentioned that it's coming to streaming services, right?
Yeah, actually, yeah. So scheduled to air on April 8th, 2025 in Japan. But wow, same day. Yeah, because this article says they don't know yet. But was this the article? Yeah, here we go. Multi-language sub and dub.
Wow.
Holy. I'm people glad.
Hate AI. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait to find out. I can't wait for someone to claim there's something that's AI. And well, then they try to.
Honestly, yeah. I would legit not be surprised if the initial translation was done machine translated and they just have people go back and localize it after the fact. Because
exactly. Yeah.
It takes a step. Because you have to remember that at the end of the day, these are companies and every CEO thinks the same. Is they're always thinking, who's the lowest guy on the totem pole that I can fire?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's how it's
going. Like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but like.
No, but it makes sense. I mean, if I always look at this other fact, there are so many things we are doing right now that is actually technically driven by an algorithm that is making lives easier. Color correction in film, editing in Adobe Premiere. Why not do it manually by hand? For the longest time, digital cameras, it did not look anywhere near as good as film. And you can even still argue a lot when you watch a movie in digital. It's just not as good as something in film, whether that's just what we remember. But there is kind of a warmth.
Like I have a DSLR, and because I don't know how to use it properly, like I never learned proper photography. Like I know all the little tricks and stuff. Like I can hack my way towards a decent photo, but like my phone is always going to beat what I can do.
Yeah.
Through software.
Yeah, exactly. It's so interesting now. Like just thinking of all the things that have made life so much easier, you know, especially in the face of AI.
Yeah.
Like to complain about it while doing so on a phone. Because not only are you just feeding into that system, but you've accepted practices that allowed for the development of AI. You know, it's like one of those things where it's just that's just part of the human course, you know, and we'll correct.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but.
Huge news. Sorry.
I was about to say, how are we going these tangents? Like, I'm good at that. But no, just going back to the dub thing. I'm just excited that there's actually a dub, but I'm going to do the thing where I watch the dub and then I watch the sub. I did that with Witch for Mercury as well. You know what? And I did that recently with the Godzilla Millennium movies, and they seem way less cheesier when you're reading subtitles.
They do.
Even though you can't see what's going on.
Dude, I hate that, you know, so many people will say like, oh, you know, if you guys actually could speak Japanese, you would see that your anime, it sounds just as ridiculous as it does dubbed when it's like in its native tongue. Like nobody actually talks like that. And it's like, I don't know if I necessarily buy that, because to your point, like, I don't think that I've ever felt the same way. Like, I think dubbed actor, like English dub anime actors do tend to take things over the top a little bit. But maybe that's just me.
So in one of the Godzilla Millennium movies, a lot of times they'll have these legendary actors that are like old school Japanese actors, very well regarded. And when I read that, I was like, man, I did not get that sense from when I watched it. So then I watched it with the subtitles. One of the worst Godzilla Millennium movies with the subtitles, it's like you can like stomach. Yeah, you can stomach those conversations when it's like the human dialogue of what they need to do.
Yeah.
And because it's these older, it's interesting that they have older actors a lot in these. They're not the main characters, but they're kind of side supporting characters and usually respected actors. And I think that happens a lot in American movies. Like when there's a big Hollywood production, they'll have like
a legacy actor character,
older, well known. Yeah.
Or yeah, you know what I meant.
Yeah.
Slight tangent, but you saw that YouTube is now, you have to opt out of it. But your videos are now going to be auto dubbed into other languages.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. I kept it on there and someone even, reached out to me saying that they're able to watch it in French.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. And then he was like, where are you from? You know, blah, blah. So that was cool. You know, that it auto dubbed and I was able to make a connection with someone that way. You know,
it's very cool. Honestly, I think that's progress right there.
It is. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I keep repeating it, but it is just amazing that April 8th, we're going to be able to watch
brand new Gundam series. Yeah.
Yeah. Brand new Gundam series. Like my April is set for content. Bam. Okay. Geeks of Color. Don't know if I've heard of this website or not, but this is just a dude, Timothy Lee, that doesn't know Gundam. He watched this for the first time. And I think in that he was saying, yeah, like while Anno's fingerprints are found, blah, blah, blah. No, that's because he's familiar with the alien, which is kind of a point, I think, with a lot of people that are maybe watching G-Quux is how much is it for the Evangelion fans, you know. Mm-hmm. I bet there's a lot of that. Okay.
I would be interested in knowing how many Evangelion fans have never watched Gundam.
I feel like for some reason, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like more people in the US have watched Evangelion than Gundam.
I get that impression too.
Okay.
And I think it's largely because Evangelion was translated and distributed in the US earlier and like wider than Gundam was for some reason. For God knows why. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was just I think I told you about this video. It was like how anime, the evolution of anime in the US, and it was the early 90s. It finally got to a point to where companies, so by the mid 90s when Evangelion came out, it was prime for being brought over. I really do think, because growing up and all through my pop culture, being into video games and everything, always hear about Evangelion. Rarely was it about Gundam, even from my anime friends.
Dude, people made fun of me and they like because I was always wearing my Gundam t-shirts and stuff, and they were like, oh, is that Escaflowne? And I'm like,
now that's a crazy reference because I would have never
got that. Get out of here.
So there was a certain a paragraph I found where he was saying, you know, he had never seen it before. So it seemed like, well, ultimately, as much as I adore G-Quux, I also recognize that this is less of an actual movie and more of a compilation that stitches together the first three-ish episodes of the anime into a film. So that's something I guess I forgot, that I guess what is in the theaters is I guess three episodes that have been condensed, which would be interesting. I mean, that if does that mean more one-year war stuff? I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. Okay. Da-da-da. Nevertheless, the way I see it is that if a film like this is just going to be a glorified teaser, it should be pure unadulterated fun. Why can't I say that? Luckily, I got exactly that with Mobile Suit Gundam G-Quux beginning. I'm excited to see how it plays out, but I can't wait to check out the rest of the Gundam franchise, starting with the original 0079. With any luck, I might become as big of a Gundam fan as I am an Evangelion one. So that right there, I think, is best case scenario for what this is going to do. It's
the kids are all right.
Yeah. No, because really think about the quadrants this is hitting, right? It's getting the, which we were just talking about, which I almost feel like Evangelion is bigger in the US and it's finally maybe closing that gap that's been there for so long, just for those holdouts of Evangelion that maybe never watched Gundam.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope that is the direction that it goes. This fan obviously has given me some hope in that regard. it goes back to the thing that I always bring up in these instances, where when you change the original thing enough to appeal to a new fan base, is it still the original thing anymore? And why would they then want to go back and consume the original product, right? So, like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring up Sonic. I'm going to bring up Skinny Robotnik, because, like I said, you know, if you are a kid that watches the Sonic movies and you're like, hey, this little blue hedgehog guy is awesome. Wait, you mean there's like 30 video games that came out before the movie? Well, I definitely want to go play all of them. Where's Tom Wachowski? And like, who's this fat guy that's going after me? That's not Eggman. What are you?
Yeah.
So it's always that's always my fear whenever there's any kind of significant change in order to appeal to a new audience, is the change being made in a superficial fashion, or is it being made to the substance of the product?
Interesting you say that, because it was the Gundam Unicorn that got me to pick up the model kit.
It's true. First time.
And then it's one of those things where, right, I do appreciate the Unicorn. Like, I really like it. I think it's really cool. But when I was getting into Gundam, I was like, oh, the Unicorn is when they get into the Gundam slop territory, where it's just like all out. We're just going to do everything insane. But as I then followed all the story, I realized, okay, they do have really good storytelling to make sense. But I do think most of it is the surface level to really grab your attention.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and it's that balance of, yeah, the old stuff, the new stuff, which...
It's the same conversation that we were having last night with, like, the people that were saying that Fukui's interpretation of new types is like, oh, they're space ghosts who can turn back time, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know, yeah. It's neat, those interpretations, and, especially, you know, speaking of new types... I guess that would be the more interesting thread that they go through for this series, because it's kind of heavy on the new type aspect, where it might explore things that wouldn't be explored in UC, but technically it would still be the same, unless there's some new type phenomenon that happens to be different in the universe. And it's funny, because I was thinking about even our discussion yesterday. So if you guys missed that near the end, you know, we were talking a lot about the storytelling for GQuex and how it's like, there's, for me, and maybe it's a conspiratorial nature of myself, that I feel like there is more to it, because I'm looking at multiple data points that might be unrelated. I love, yeah, because remember we were talking about this last night, where I'm like, not only is Amuro missing, but wait, Denim or Jean?
Is it Denim?
But there is a Jean.
There's a Jean too. So Jean is the one that initiates the attack in the original.
Yeah, but it just made me realize... Denim jeans. I'm sorry. Anyway, and then yeah, the
Tomino's nothing if not a troll.
But the repair that needed to get done,
yeah,
on the mobile suit, and Char having to say, "Oh, I don't know, I just got intuition." So for me, I'm seeing three data points, but it could be, yeah, again, the conspiratorial.
Well, and so it's worth noting that this story can, just by the nature of it having a 45-year-old franchise behind it, it can be a little bit more forward leaning on some of these things. Like, it's like episode 30 before we even get a mention of the new types in the original series, right? Like, new types are not a thing until towards the end, whereas here, it's front loaded, right? Like, we're already, yeah, in the first 5 minutes, we're talking about, ooh, yeah, my intuition is telling me that I need to go down there. And it's like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm really curious about all that, because it's like, it's almost like it doesn't matter, or am I looking for something to matter if they're like, yes. So what happened is the new types, I don't know, there's different universes of new types, you know, or the time travel, you know, might even play. What if it's time travel and it ties in? Oh my God. Well, I just got a super chat. Thank you, Classic Quarter Gameplays. The movie's going to be interesting. Past and future Gundams enter dimensions and lost colonies as well. I wonder how it's going to be with three different parts to the movie. I can't wait. Yeah. And so like, yeah, thank you so much for that. I mean, that's so awesome. Classic quarter gameplays, long time Gundam Explained channel watcher, enjoyer, Gundam enjoyer, and always commenting. I always appreciate it. Probably comments on most of my videos, if not all. So I appreciate that. But
good people.
Again, I can't wait. The fact that we got this news right before going on that the show is going to be on Amazon.
That's awesome. So do you think at some point, like, Tim Ray is going to come back and be like, Amuro, we have to go back in time. And he's like, oh, what is it? My kids? And it's like, kids, you're not going to have kids, Amuro. Are you crazy?
So what you're bringing up, though, is I think what inside my mind is wanting to have resolved, that the meaning or the resolution or whatever of the show is going to be some sort of explanation of how and why, like how the universe changed and why it did. What is the message it's giving that the original timeline didn't? But then it might be the same issue I had with Deadpool and Wolverine, where I went in thinking it was going to be deeper than it is on the surface.
I was going to say, I think you're going to be disappointed. I think that this piece is self-aware enough to say, like, we're going to tease you into thinking that there is some deeper meaning going on here. But the cynical truth is that, like, it doesn't.
I don't know, but you're right. It's one of those things. It's only because of who's creating it. You know what I mean? And because there is that personal history.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, no, that's about it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. I am just so excited that GQX is going to be on TV. What I'm going to try to do, and I did this with Requiem for Vengeance, is do the watch along.
I'll be there.
Cool. And I don't know how I'm going to do it yet. I mean, if they drop all the episodes at once, I don't know if I want
to. I don't like to binge shows like that. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we'll discuss that in the background here. But we're going to head out. Thanks all for watching. We will talk later. See you all.
Cheers.